I'd be sitting there, be 5:59, and where the fuck was The Simpsons? No, tennis, because there's no strict imposition on how long a tennis match should last.
Welcome to the Canned Laughter Tennis Tournament. Running loudly and making a racket is Mark.
Four!
And disqualified for improperly handling his balls is me, Simon. At some point, we're going to run out of dick jokes. I don't think we will.
Like, there are enough dick jokes to keep us going for at least another 100 episodes.
So by the time we reach episode 126, that's when we're going to hit problems.
Today is episode 25. So we are a quarter century old today.
No, Mark, that's not how it works.
Of podcastingness. No, a century is 100. This is 25. Yeah, it's a quarter of a century.
A century is 100 years. We're not 25 years old.
Then how come in cricket, if you score 100 runs, it's called a century?
Because cricket doesn't make any goddamn fucking sense, and anyone who tells you otherwise is a liar. That's why. I don't know. We could be 25 years old in dog years. Or podcast years.
Yeah, we're a quarter century in podcast years.
But what is a podcast year?
About a week.
Yeah, it's about a week, isn't it? Well, so far we have managed to record an episode every week without fail.
That is true. I was thinking about this on my way home today, thinking that, you know, we are a quarter... I don't care what you say, we're a quarter century old today. And I was thinking that... Like, how lucky and convenient it was we were both recording when Steph didn't show up in episode 13 and we still managed to get Waiting for Steph.
Yeah, that was handy.
You see, you can always... That would have been our first week not recording.
It doesn't matter what adversity life throws at you, you can always get a podcast from it.
Yeah, that's true. Me passively, aggressively swearing at Steph's lack of commitment / being stuck in traffic.
God damn it, Steph, I hate you and stuff. I can't remember the exact words.
I don't know.
I imagine it was along those lines.
It was probably just like, you're a twat, send, smiley face.
it was very passive-aggressive, wasn't it?
It was really passive-aggressive. You know, the only way to convey annoyance amongst friends, passive-aggressiveness. So what have you been up to this last week, then?
This last week, Again, I'm drawing a blank, so I may have gone to space and then completely forgotten about it. But I don't think there's been anything. Yeah, I left a fiver on the moon.
But it would float away, though.
Well, it would float away.
You'd have to leave something like a lead £5 note on the moon.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't float away. There's no atmosphere on the moon.
Well, if you threw it, it would float away.
No, there's gravity. It would be like throwing an apple in low gravity, which I realise is not a particularly brilliant point of reference, but stick with it. So, like, it would fly up way higher than an apple or a fiver would on Earth, but then it would just fall.
I must just be thinking about space in general, not just...
I think you're thinking about space in general. It would float away.
Because I was going to say, like, then how come, like, the flag Neil Armstrong planted didn't float away? But I suppose that's kind of dug into the ground and on a film set in Los Angeles.
Do not begin on that. Let's not go down that route. When I did my absurdly popular tweet about credit card numbers and I mentioned the moon landing, I got, I think, 4 replies from people who were like, yeah, but it was fake, so, nah, because the government is really powerful and stuff. And I just swiftly moved on.
Which, unfortunately, they can't do.
It's true. Now, the only two things I know about the moon landing... Well, not... No. That's not true. The only two particularly interesting, somewhat unusual things I know about the moon landing are that the flags, the American flag on the moon, all the ink on it has likely worn away.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's like, 'cause there's no gravity in space and it floated off.
No, no, it's because the... No, it's the moon is not space. It's because the ink in the flags just fades in the sunlight. And on the moon, where there isn't the atmosphere that we've got, that just happens at a faster rate.
Yeah.
So that happened to the same flag here on Earth, just it would happen at a more slow rate. So you might not necessarily know it. And the other one, which was a video I'd like to dig out and put in the link dump, is from a filmmaker who basically says that while he can't be 100% sure about whether we did land on the moon or not, and no one can, he knows that what we saw was impossible to fake technically, given the technology at the time.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole Mythbusters episode about it.
What conclusion did they reach?
Because everything Mythbusters prove is definitely true. And they proved that, it actually happened. But it's not worth arguing about. And, and even if it didn't happen then, we have the technology now to go back to the moon if we wanted to. I mean, we sent a tiny robot to Mars, for God's sake.
We have. I think this was it. Yeah, this is the one. Definitely the one. Hello, Skype. You will be my link dump today.
I think I may have seen this one, actually.
It did make the rounds when it was first posted.
I think I may have seen this video. Oh, no, I haven't. It's just a man talking to the camera a lot.
Yeah, I was never one for the conspiracy theories of, we didn't really land on the moon.
Yeah.
But that guy does make a compelling case for the moon landing was not faked. We can at least say that much.
Mm.
Didn't we say we weren't going to talk about this?
Yeah, we did about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, well, it's fine. We'll cut this.
don't say that. It's interesting. People want to know our opinions on whether or not America faked a moon landing.
No, it's just
60 years ago.
Dude, that's the rule. If you say we'll cut this, then you can't cut it ever.
Ah, sorry, I forgot about that. Don't worry, we'll cut this bit.
Yeah. At least that's what Eddie Izzard taught me. If you say you'll cut it, then it just stays in. But no, yeah. I've checked my calendar over for the last week, and according to that, I haven't really done anything interesting.
Fair enough. The only
interesting things I've done have been sort of vaguely work-related, and I don't want to go into that on the podcast.
Fair enough. Well, I did a vaguely work-related thing yesterday that was kind of interesting.
Go on.
Well, it's vaguely work-related, as in I did it with my colleagues. But because we're doing this 10K on Sunday, which is, what, five days from now? Something stupid. 4 days from now. We were invited to like a corporate treasure hunt around Leeds, and we were given like cryptic clues, and we had to go to like locations around the city centre and find out like what the missing item was or who built the iron roof on the corn exchange and all sorts of stuff like that. And it was really fun. And as it turned out, we came joint third out of 26 teams.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It was really good fun, and it was very similar to to what we did for Steph's birthday around Leicester. And yeah, I thought, that's going to put me in good practice. And I had a really good time doing it. And it was a good hour around Leeds, wandering around, finding out things I didn't know, which I've swiftly forgotten. Except I remember that it's the only one I remember, because there was a problem entering answers that had ampersands in them, is that Butler and Co. Were the people who constructed the iron roof of the corn exchange. That's something. So trying to enter like 83 different variations of Butler and Co, like Butler plus Co, Butler and the word and Co, Butler and Co with a period after Co. Yeah, it was just so that one's at least committed to memory. But no, it was good.
What were you entering it on?
It was through a website on an iPhone. They'd done a special mobile website that, you know, you tapped on the pin in the map for where the to show you the clue, and then you could enter the answer.
Yeah. Well, the iPhone does do ampersands. You've got me curious now. As to
I think it was just their coding for the site didn't allow for it. I don't really know the answer, but it was unfortunately couldn't enter that answer. But we spoke to the organisers afterwards, as did a lot of people who I think had got the same answer but couldn't enter it. And we got the points awarded anyway. But yeah, it was great. We came joint third out of 26 teams. We had the smallest team there. There were only 5 of us in the end. And that was pretty good fun. And that's how I spent my yesterday evening, which led to a rather interesting adventure afterwards. Because I'd completely forgotten. Basically, I'd driven in yesterday thinking, what I'll do is, I can't be asked to walk to work this morning, so I'll drive in. I'll park my car at my old flat because I can still park there for the next week. And then by the time I come to collect my car later, all the traffic will be gone and it'll be a nice swift journey home. But how wrong I was. I'd forgotten there were roadworks on the ring road. Basically, on the on-ramp where I would get on. And, I drove onto it and then was very swiftly diverted off on the next little bit because obviously they were doing something to the road. And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know how to get home from here. Like, I only know one route between my old flat and my new flat. So I quickly put on, and this was probably my second mistake of the evening, first after forgetting there were roadworks, I forgot Apple Maps is shit. And basically Apple Maps continue to try and get me to do a U-turn and go back over the ring road, which is just impossible because I just couldn't do it. And so I ended up... My initial thought was, after I couldn't get on the ring road, what I'll do... And this sounded smart at the time, but now I can't believe how dumb it is. I thought, what I'll do is I'll get on the ring road, go in the opposite direction, and drive around it until I come out. And, like, you know, because I should have gone on the ring road and gone, like, 5 miles left. I thought, if I go on right and loop around the entire city, I'll eventually get to that point 5 miles left of where I started. That's not how the ring road in Leeds works. And I was driving more and more towards York with every mile that was passing, so I eventually had to pull over and just wing it. And then when I eventually made it back to the city centre, I realised that what I should have done was driven right through the city centre, gone past the train station, and then got on at the next point on the ring road where their roadworks had ended. And it took me about 50 minutes to get home in what should have been a 10-minute journey. I was very, very disappointed in myself. So that's why I was a bit... I didn't have time to text you to say I'll be a little bit late this evening to start recording because the roadworks start at 7 and we're on again tonight. So mm-hmm. I was trying to get to my car because I had to pull a late one at work. Trying to get to my car with enough time to get over that first bit of the ring road to get past where they were doing the roadworks to get home. And obviously it all coincided, like the roadworks started at 7, got to be back here for 7 for the podcast. And I was like, oh fuck, I've got to get there as fast as I can. And I made it over, luckily. Otherwise, God knows how long it would have taken me to get back again, considering the 50-minute detour I did last night. But yeah, I was pretty stupid. Like, I can't believe, like, looking back at it now. I know, I'll drive the opposite way around the ring road until, like, no, Mark. You'll end up not in Leeds. That's not how the ring road works. It's not literally a ring. So yeah, I felt pretty stupid.
Oh, I've done some silly things. When I was driving back from York once, which involves going north and slightly to the west. That's all I'm saying. And I ended up going kind of directly north, heading up towards Scarborough Way.
Yeah.
And I ended up going down Sutton Bank. If you don't know what Sutton Bank is, it's pretty steep. It's like a giant set of hairpin bends. You're meant to stay in low gear. You are not meant to go down it in adverse weather conditions. It's kind of a death trap if you're not an experienced driver. I was not an experienced driver at the time. I think this was only after... I think it was only like 2 months after I passed my test or something.
Really?
So suddenly I'm just going down here, funnily enough, listening to a track called Death. Just being like, oh, what's this? Oh, shit. Oh, I made it.
Like a bobsled.
I made it. Kind of like a bobsled, but not quite that fast.
Yeah.
I think I managed to keep it at about 20 miles an hour, which is probably too fast, but I had a whole bunch of stuff in the back as well.
Yeah.
I had like 3 days worth of accommodation, equipment. So it wasn't like I had a vehicle that was easily manoeuvrable. There were two of us in the car as well. So that was an interesting surprise, but I managed it. Like, to be honest, I do get screwed over by ring roads as well. In fact, driving in York is kind of a pain. Especially because I only knew York by foot.
Yeah.
And on foot is fine, because you can put one leg in front of the other in quick succession and get to most places using that general method. Whereas when you're in a car, you have to stick to a network of tarmac-based routes known as roads.
Yeah.
And some of these roads, while most roads let you go two ways, some roads have a thing where the other way is blocked off and traffic has to go one way, they call it. And there's a bit of a misnomer there, because when they call it one way, they should have called it, clusterfuck! Because that's really what it is.
That would fit on the sign, though.
Well, just drop the second word then. Just warning. Just, you know, still have that white arrow on the blue rectangular sign. That's fine. Yeah. Just below it, just have it just say, To be honest, I have the font that British transport signs use. I could totally muck that up. That's for another time. So, I think I was driving to yours, actually. Or, well, Steph's. Back when you lived there.
Yeah.
And I know the route my dad always took to get into York. It was kind of a route of as the crow flies from where we were, or at least where we turned off the motorway.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've seen that route. I know that road that he uses gets really congested as you get into York, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go around the outer ring road and take another route in. Did I do that? Did I bollocks? Both times. I just completely forgot. Brain was just not happening. It was like, hang on, where am I going? I'll just keep going straight on. Oh, I'm at this bit again. Oh, why am I at this bit? Oh, yeah, because I went straight on. Ugh. And then you have to wait like 6 billion years at traffic lights. And they are, of course, tiny, pokey roads with a lot of, you know, double-decker buses going down. So it's either a disaster waiting to happen or the traffic flow is really slow.
Yeah.
And, of course, last time I did that, there were some temporary traffic signs up.
Because why not?
Because why not? Also, it was the 50th anniversary of York University, so there were a lot of people who wanted to get into York. So I did... But that's kind of the happy ending, though. I did kind of everything wrong, if you like, and it still worked out fine.
No, that's not bad.
It could be better, but it could be worse.
Yeah. good stuff. I do actually want us to do a driving theme podcast at some point. So we'll hold back to have a few more interesting driving stories. Actually, yeah, we should definitely talk about our driving tests, because I have interesting events happen on mine.
Yeah, we could. We could.
That'll actually be good for when Steph gets back, because I know his, for a man who names his car the Passion Wagon, he's bound to have some good automobile stories.
Oh, did he do a sex in it?
Potentially. His second car was called the Passion Wagon 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Well, that's just what you call a sequel. That just goes without saying.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and I still maintain by the Die Hard numbering scheme, and it's something hard, and
something hard, eh?
Yeah, that was the porn film I made. It'd be like title, and then title 2, title harder, and then title with a vengeance for the third installment. Live free
for the fourth
and title
one,
hard.
For the fourth one, would you go for live free or title hard, or title hard 4.0?
I'd go with live free and title hard, because that's much better. Then,
yeah,
their non-American audiences—they won't get a title that references Americanism. Yeah,
it's like, do you have any idea how much you fuckers export your culture?
Yeah,
we know what the phrase "live free or die" is, and if we don't, Doesn't matter. It's a set of words used to uniquely identify a particular film to separate it from every other film in existence.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I got really pissed off when they announced that they were going to change the name of the Avengers film, as in Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, et al., the Avengers, to Avengers Assemble. And when I first read that, I thought, ha, I bet that's because of the 1960s television show and 1990s movie called The Avengers. And funnily enough, it actually was. And I thought, are they expecting UK audiences to be that dumb that when they see now in cinemas The Avengers, they'll think, oh, it's that great film with Sean Connery in again.
But don't underestimate what old British people are capable of.
But it just amuses me, though, because even if you go on, like, Wikipedia, it'll be like The Avengers 1990, The Avengers 2012. So it still manages to, you know, it's the same equivalent of although it's actually rather strange for video games, they routinely retitle themselves, and you have like the recent Tomb Raider was called Tomb Raider, but when it came out, I wasn't like, why are they releasing the 1994 original? It was no, you know, it's a new Tomb Raider game called Tomb Raider. You know,
yeah.
I think there's definitely too much of a assumption of an idiot culture sometimes that some people are too stupid to, you know, get dressed in the morning. Therefore, they can't understand that when a film comes out called The Avengers, it may be different from another film called The Avengers because more than one thing can have the same. It's the same equivalent of if I met someone else called Mark and freaking out.
Plus, if you were going to go see a film called The Avengers, you probably wouldn't decide to see a film based solely on the words in its title.
You generally have an idea that a film called The Avengers starring superheroes was coming out and you wanted to see said film.
Yeah, and if you didn't, right, you could go on the internet, you could go on IMDb, you could go on Apple Trailers, you could look at the trailer and be like, is this the Sean Connery sex romp I expect it to be? I haven't seen the original Avengers, I don't know if that happens. Or you could, you know, look at some of the promo materials. I mean, they're easy to find. You could maybe see the advert for it on a bus stop.
Yeah.
It's not a problem because the problem only exists as part of the overall advertising campaign for the movie.
Mm.
And because of that, I agree with you that they made a shitty call on that one.
Yeah. And as it turned out, they went with the title Marvel's Avengers Assemble. Which makes even less sense. They should have just called it fucking Marvel's Avengers. Or Marvel Avengers. Because I think a lot of their films now have been titled Marvel, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. They're always putting Marvel in front of it as brand recognition.
Yeah. Well, Marvel Avengers sounds like a cross between Charlie's Angels and Quality Street. So I wouldn't have picked that one.
It's like, hi, Barsley. Hi, Green Triangle. Hi, Purple Log. Hi, Toffee Coin.
Oh man, that Green Triangle is so majestic.
Played by Cameron Diaz.
I can just picture the casting now. Mainly I can picture Cameron Diaz in a giant novelty Green Triangle suit, and it's just funny.
Lucy Liu is the big purple one, and Drew Barrymore is the Toffee Penny.
Charlie's Angels, but with Quality Street instead. There's got to be a film in there somewhere.
If you like, they make films out of board games all the time, or they make films and then, you know, pretend it's based on a board game like Battleship. Why not? Why? What's stopping people making films out of like sweet chocolate selection boxes?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, hell, they made a film out of Lego. Hell, as we saw that last week or the week before, they made a film out of Deadall.
Instead of the Deathl Avengers. Actually, no, the trailer for the Lego movie looks pretty amazing.
It does.
They look pretty awesome.
although I want to interrogate about that weird, over-compressed dance remix of Take On Me that ostensibly plays at the end of the trailer.
Yeah.
What is up with that? Because that's the one thing that makes me think, oh, it could be a bad film. The rest of it, I was like, this looks pretty good.
They've got Morgan Freeman playing a Lego wizard. What about that says it's not going to be a good film?
Well, that's not the bit that would potentially disappoint me.
That's true. Just when they start dancing to Take On Me.
Yeah. On the whole, though, I'm optimistic about that.
Yeah, it looks like it could be quite good. It's you know, it's self-aware, it's based on Lego, and they have, like, people disassembling themselves and stuff, so...
Yeah. Oh! This is a public service announcement. I'll be editing this podcast in the next few days. It's currently Wednesday. Wednesday the 10th. The 15th of July is St. Swithin's Day. Buy kippers, have them for breakfast. Yes, St. Swithin's Day is real.
Tis St. Swithin's Day already, said Aunt Helga.
Tis, replied Aunt Helga. Oh, anyone who doesn't get this reference is dead inside. But anyone who does, St. Swithin's Day, 15th of July, buy your kippers now. Other fish are available.
Oh, I do love that episode of The Simpsons. I was watching, because obviously now I've got my amazing Sky deal for all O2 customers. I've been watching a lot of newer episodes of The Simpsons, and it's almost there. Like season 23, it's almost kind of funny again, but it's still lacking that original charm.
Yeah, I've been rewatching season 3. I've been going back through. I want to go back through the box sets I've got.
Yeah,
and it.
Oh, is that where you texted me the monkey paw one?
Yeah, the more I watch all The Simpsons, the more I like it. Because I can see it's not just really funny, but the charm is there. The characters are actually likable characters, which constantly reels it in, constantly lets them reassert the ridiculous comedy that they do. Because at the end of the day, all the characters are still people. So that constantly regrounds it.
Yeah, because I saw the Saturdays of Thunder episode recently, because they Sky tend to do a thing where they show like a new episode and a very old episode. It's almost like, here's a terrible episode, now here's a really good one to perk up your spirits. And just Saturdays of Thunder is just so beautifully done. Like, it's, you know, the whole premise is Homer being a bad father, but the underlying concept of the soapbox derby race is... It's there from the very beginning, and that's something that I feel a lot of the new episodes miss, because they kind of go... I mean, there was one terrible, terrible one that I watched with my brother, and it's... forgive me if I get this wrong, I've tried to black out as much of it as possible. In fact, there are two examples I can come up with, but one of them was... I think it was to do with, like, Grandpa Simpson thought he was useless, and so went to... Oh, no, I actually can't remember why. I don't know. Anyway, it led to him going to euthanize and get killed, basically have assisted suicide performed on him. Then he thought that it worked, when in fact, like, the machine had malfunctioned, so he basically thought he was dead and was walking around the world, and everyone, obviously, because, you know, his grandpa, no one paid him any attention anyway, so he thought it was a ghost. And then something happened to him, and then he realized that he was actually alive, but because he thought he was dead, he had no fear. And then what can be classed in inverted commas as the main plot kicked in, where Grandpa became a bullfighter. And that was like the last 5 minutes of the episode. And it just felt so stitched together.
That's bad pacing.
In fact, the other example, and this was the first newer episode I watched, which completely put me off them. But I remember this more clearly, because I've told more people about it, because it annoyed me so much. But it starts in Shelbyville. The Simpsons are at an opera. They come away from the opera, and we're like Marge is doing her thing of, wasn't the opera lovely? Maybe we should get an opera theatre here in Springfield. And so then they start raising money for a theatre, and then they get the theatre built, and then everyone goes to the theatre on opening night. Then no one goes to the theatre on opening night, because then they realise no one likes opera. So why the fuck did they get it built? And then they're like, oh, what are we going to do? Like, we're out so much money, so then Mr. Burns buys the theatre and converts it into a prison, because why not? Then they realise, but there's no one in the prison. We have no inmates. So what they start doing is start reinforcing a lot of old laws that, you know, like, if a goose quacks three times, then, you know, you're allowed to arrest, you know, a man who looked at cheese. I don't know. But one of them, they get home, and this annoyed me particularly because Homer has done some quite illegal things in the past on The Simpsons, but Homer kicks a can, like, three times down the street, and that counts as, like, travelling with rubbish or something like that, or rubbish with the intent to just not pick it up. So they arrest Homer, then Homer gets jailed, then Homer witnesses Snake breaking out of the prison, accidentally snitches on him, and then the inverted commas, main plot kicks in and Homer becomes a prison snitch for the next 5 minutes before the episode ends.
Oh, I think I've seen that one.
It's so bad.
Yeah. I think the... That was around season 15, I think.
I couldn't tell you when it was, but it was
no, it was around that sort of point. That was... Okay, that was also the one with the really, really terrible one where Homer ends up convicted for murder, but it turns out it's actually on a reality TV show.
Oh, seriously?
Seriously? Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
But I think that's one of the things The Simpsons lost out on was the fact that it started out pretty grounded in reality. I know there's episodes like Bart Gets an Elephant, but it still kind of works.
Elephants exist.
Yeah, elephants exist, and he could kick up enough of a fuss that they have to give him one. But then they started doing so much more, and I think this is in part a little bit to do with kind of Family Guy and how wacky that can be, and maybe a little bit to do with South Park as well, because they're not so much grounded in reality. And then they started doing more crazy things that just kind of broke the boundaries of what The Simpsons is. And it didn't become... I mean, there's crazy episodes early on, like when Homer starts working for Hank Scorpio, and Hank Scorpio is basically just trying to take over the world.
Yeah.
But it still kind of fits.
I haven't seen that one in a while, but it's the way they present it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's such a good episode as well.
What season was that?
That was like season 6, I think.
I'll hopefully get up to that soon, though.
It's early on, but it's not super early on.
Yeah, I've only got up to season 7 on DVD.
Oh, right.
I'm hoping to get up to 10. Maybe 11 and 12.
Hmm. After that, it gets really shaky, doesn't it?
Yeah. I know season 11 has one where Homer becomes a food critic, which has my favourite line ever.
Yeah. Chewy?
That's inspired!
I can't hear the word chewy without thinking of you in that line now.
Good.
But one thing that my brother told me, and I think this could be... Because I actually found some... it was on BuzzFeed, so you know, take it with a pinch of salt. But they listed like the 25 best one-off characters. And there wasn't a single one-off character. And these were all... I think like 85, 90% of these characters were voiced by guest actors. But there was no one-off character they listed. And this is, you know... recently, this is like taking into account, I assume, all Simpsons, but there was no one-off character past series 8. And from what my brother told me, that the core cast of The Simpsons, particularly folks like Dan Castellaneta and Hank Azaria, who do a lot of voices, were getting increasingly annoyed when guest stars were brought in to voice a character that wasn't their own celebrity Simpson avatar, because they were annoyed it was basically taking work off them, so they could have come up with a silly voice for that character instead of... But I mean, one of my favourite guest stars, and it was actually top of the list, is Dustin Hoffman, who plays Lisa's substitute teacher. And I just think he's an absolutely fantastic guest star. There's a brilliant reference to The Graduate in there as well, which obviously I didn't get the first time I saw it, because I probably watched that episode when I was about 9 or 10 the first time it was on. Maybe a bit younger than that. So, I mean, there's great references, and he voices the character so well. But in some of the later episodes, like, there's one where Homer... It's like Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger, I think. And they play themselves, and it's such celebrity for celebrity's sake. And I feel a lot of the celebrity guest stars after that... In fact, my brother was telling me the other day, there's an episode with Lady Gaga in it who voices herself, and it's just appalling. Christ. But yeah,
I'll not be watching that.
Or another really good guest star who didn't play themselves was Donald Sutherland, who played the curator of the Jebediah Springfield Museum. I mean, for a start, I think he has a fantastic voice anyway.
Yeah, there is always that argument. It's, you know, they might be famous actors, but can they do the role? If they can, no problem.
Yeah,
it's like Kelsey Grammer with Sideshow Bob.
Oh, he's absolutely brilliant. And then they got David Hyde Pierce, who plays his brother on Frasier, to be his brother on the show. And then, I've not seen it, but then they get John Mahoney, who plays their father on Frasier, to be Sideshow Bob and Cecil's father in The Simpsons as well, and it was just, oh, it's yeah, so see, good.
That works. You can do that exactly once, and they clearly they picked the right actors to do that.
Yeah. But I love Kelsey Grammer's voice, though. It's just beautiful. if I could sign up to a service where Kelsey Grammer narrated every book that's ever been written, they could have all of my money.
Oh, I think I'm going to buy seasons 8 and 9 on DVD now.
what kind of good episodes are from seasons 8 and 9? It's been such a long time since I watched them.
No, same.
Let's have a quick look. This is great podcast material. Like, well, I did want us to do like a basically us just talking about a cartoons type podcast anyway.
Let's see. Ah, the Hank Scorpio one is season 8.
Oh, that's season 8. Oh, right. I can't believe it's been running 25 years.
It's crazy.
It's as old as us. That's unbelievable. Season 8.
What's the one with the burlesque house?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie's in series 8 as well.
Oh, lovely.
Poochie died on the way back to his home planet.
Oh, there's the one where Homer goes on a vision quest.
Yeah.
That was a weird one.
That was a pretty weird one. And who it was Johnny Cash voiced the spirit guide as well.
Yep.
Oh, Trash of the Titans in Series 9, where Homer becomes the garbage man. Cuss the garbage man, can.
I barely remember that one. Oh, the one with fake Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah.
I love that episode. I think it's just the way she leaves.
Yeah. Straight into the jet engine.
It's brilliant. It just comes out of nowhere. I guess she's a one-off character. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And the Cartridge Family, if that's the one I think it is, I think that's the one where Homer gets the gun. And absolutely, yeah, it is. And I love that because he's when he buys the gun, he gets the silencer and the loudener.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I might buy these. It was going to be a matter of time.
Yeah.
So I might as well do it now. Although I think these are going to be the ones that have that obnoxious piracy warning on the start. You know, the ones that pirates take off the pirate copies. Fuck's sake.
Yeah. You'd think they'd have learned by now that...
No, you can't expect the movie industry to learn things like this.
I get really annoyed. It's like, I see that and it's like, you wouldn't steal a car. It's like, fucking try me. I might steal a car now.
Yeah. I wouldn't steal a car because there's one of that car. I wouldn't steal a handbag. There is one of that handbag.
I can't download the handbag from the internet.
I could try. That's 3D printers, isn't it? Oh, 3D printers are going to make that interesting.
Yeah, you wouldn't 3D print a car.
Fucking would. Well, I wouldn't, actually. I would take that up to 70 and it would start to melt.
Did you see the thing about the 3D printed gun?
Yeah, that's... I just want to sit back and watch the sparks fly on that. That whole debate. That's literally all I want to do. Yeah, I just want to be like, right, law enforcement, 3D printers, you battle this out. Unfortunately, it's going to end up with 3D printing being illegal, but I would like to see how.
If you could print anything, what would it be?
If I could print anything?
Yeah. And not something, you know, obvious like money.
You could 3D print money, but that's not how legal tender is made.
Yeah.
I would 3D print... my own money press. Get out of that one.
I thought I might like 3D print myself.
You would totally 3D print a statue of yourself.
Yeah.
To make you seem like some kind of fallen Stalinist hero.
Or just like 3D print myself and just leave them around town, just like these statues of me. Or, oh no, that would be the perfect prank. 3D print like 3 statues of yourself and like put them in front of a cash machine and just see how many more people queue behind.
Just wait until a hot day. Hey, he's been here 3 weeks and he's starting to melt. Something's not right here.
Or 3D print yourself looking up into the sky and like see how many people stop and look up as well. I always find that fascinating with cash machines. Like if there's like 2-3 people queuing behind one cash machine and there's no queue behind the other cash machine. I've done it before where I've queued and the other cash machine has been in perfect working order, but my, you know, the British instinct is to queue if you see one forming. It's almost a reflex reaction. It's like, I just want to stand in line. But yeah. I always do that now whenever I see, you know, if there's a queue behind one machine and then no queue at the other one, even if it's out of order, I don't care doing that walk of shame back to the back of the queue. It's like, at least I tried. At least I was like willing to go out on a limb and see if the, you know, the cash machine or the checkout was working.
Yeah. It's always possible that if there's one queue for two machines and they both work, that there's one queue and people just sort of split off to the two machines as they become available. Although generally when that's the case, you know, there isn't one machine left open all the time.
I tell you what, I would actually 3D print a smaller version of my flat and put it inside my flat. Just to, you know, freak people out. Like, they come in through the regular-sized door, but it gradually gets smaller and smaller and smaller until they're in a very, like, narrow living room.
Oh my god, you could 3D print your own personal crystal maze.
That would be amazing! I could have an Aztec zone and a space zone.
And a futuristic zone and an industrial zone and a medieval zone and an industrial zone and an ocean zone. Because, hey, why only have 4?
Because that's as big as their studio was.
Your crystal dome and... Yes, and you could wire up a Kinect to do the very action when you say, "Will you start the fans, please?"
Kidnap Richard O'Brien and get him to be my personal maze warden.
Yeah, just get a billion hairdryers, make a drying room.
I always loved the shot of like whenever you knew they were fucking up in the crystal maze and it just cut to Richard O'Brien just standing with his arms folded, leaning against the outside of the chamber, shaking his head. That made crystal maze for me. It's like, this guy knows his shit and he's just like, nah, these guys aren't going to do it. Although the best thing was like when the person failed on the very first challenge and they would be like, well, we don't have a... Or whenever like the second challenge, they had like a crystal in the bank and it's like, will you sacrifice your one crystal to save your friend? And they'd be like, no, sorry, Jeff. And then they'd be stuck in like the Aztec zone for the rest of the show. And it just every now and then, they'd be in like the space zone and doing one of those crazy bits where they had to duck under all the wires. And then it would just like smash cut to the Aztec zone where the person still trapped is peering out of the wire, peering out of the cage or the puzzle they're trapped in. I always found that really funny. Like in my head, like they were in there for the duration of the show. Like they weren't taken out like straight afterwards and taken to a green room or something like that. They were in there for as long as their teammates were trying to win the crystal maze.
Yeah,
potentially for some time afterwards.
Alternative approach for a 3D printer: road trip to Scotland, 3D printed Loch Ness monster, and other hoaxes.
Yeah.
3D printed Bigfoot.
I like this.
If this was 2 years ago, we could have said 3D printed Duke Nukem forever.
Yeah, topical jokes. Well, we can keep it relevant by saying 3D printing Half-Life 3.
Oh yeah, that still isn't out yet, is it?
No.
God damn it, Gabe. How about my Half-Life 3?
You know what Valve's policy is? They can't make a game with a number 3 in the title. With Half-Life, they got to Half-Life 2 and then had to make Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and Half-Life 2 Episode 2. Oh, yeah.
And then Portal 2, Left 4 Dead 2. I'm seeing
Dota
a pattern
2.
Here. I'm definitely seeing a pattern here.
Oh, I rewatched Team America the other night. Oh, such a good film.
I never finished watching that.
Really?
Yeah. Started watching it, I never finished.
So it got me thinking, because I watched Ted recently as well, and that's the Seth MacFarlane written, starred by probably directed by film. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd give it a go. I mean, I hate Family Guy. I hate America. I basically hate anything Seth MacFarlane does. I just don't think he's funny. And Ted, for me, was just so revolving around the topical jokes. And I just thought this... I mean, bear in mind, it's a film about Teddy Bear. like, I'm watching this film, like, a year and a bit, maybe, after its release. And I'm already finding the jokes dated. I mean, there was a joke in there, and I don't care, I'm spoiling the very end. But they basically say that the child, the evil child in the film, you know, got a personal trainer, lost some weight, and became Taylor Lautner, who's the werewolf thing in the Twilight films. And I just thought, you know, all the Twilight films are finished now. That guy's career, you know, he's not had another movie since. That joke is just completely dated right now, and the entire film felt like that. It was just, look, cultural reference, and it felt like a series of sketches that were stitched together by a very thin storyline about this teddy bear who came alive. And then the ending really bugged me, because basically Ted dies.
Hooray!
And Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis, basically, they're sad about it, but they basically come to terms with the death of this talking teddy bear, who's been Mark Wahlberg's lifelong friend. But then Mila Kunis stands by the window that evening and sees a shooting star, because of course that would happen right at that very time, makes a wish on it, and then Ted comes back to life. And it just felt like all the emotional investment you've just had about this character dying and these characters feeling for this other character's death is completely wasted, because next morning, would you believe it, the magic of love and willpower brought him back to life.
Well, you got to have some soppy bullshit to, you know, provide a hook for the sequel.
Yeah, it was bad. But then stuff like Team America, which, you know, I know of people who don't like Trey Parker and Matt Stone's sense of humour. And in a way, you know, you could argue that the celebrities they use in that film could, you know, be dated as well. Like, not everyone knows who Janine Garofalo is. You know, I only know her because she was in Dogma. But, you know, that humor is just, I like their style of humor, and I still find Team America funny. I can quote it, you know, word perfect at times, and it's great. But just something like Ted is just awful, 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 awful comedy. Say comedy.
Let's not say comedy. It was an awful, awful, awful Shakespearean tragedy starring 12 ducks.
I'd watch that film.
This Canned Laughter tennis tournament is over. It's 15 love to Mark.
Why do they use love as zero? Why can't it be zero? Why love? No one loves tennis. No, just tennis. No, boo!
And still appealing his disqualification on grounds of sexual harassment has been me, Simon. Goodbye.
No, much to do with Taming of the Shrew doesn't work. I will come up with a pun for this.
Yeah, you will.
Oh, fuck. Romeo and Juliet doesn't work. Hamlet. Omelette! It's close enough, it's about eggs.
That is way off. That is terrible. Go ducks back and try again.
Ducks come from eggs, that's close enough.
We don't make those eggs into omelettes, largely.
Well, no, because the Hamlet is holding, you know, alas, poor Yorick, he's holding the skull. Maybe one of the ducks could be holding, like, the eggshell and be like, alas, poor duckling Yorick.
I want to make one. Come on, Wikipedia, the complete works of Shakespeare.
King Lear doesn't work. None of the historical ones work, really. Oh, if it was about fish, you could have had a Midsummer Night's Bream.
I could have.
But it's about ducks, you motherfucker. Mother ducker.
Oh. A Mallard Summer Night's Dream.
Oh, nice.
That's the best I got so far.
Or instead of 12th night, I suppose you could have 12th duck.
You just replaced a random word with duck.
I know, but they got the 12-bit right.
You could do that with anything. Duck to the Future. Duck Wars.
Duck Tales. Oh, wait.
Duck Trek.
Duck Trek. Duck's Labor's Lost. McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck.
Anthony and Cleo Ducra.
Duck the Fifth.
Oh, instead of the Phoenix and the Turtle, the Duck and the Turtle. That kind of works.
Yeah. But again, it's just a case of you just turn another word into duck.
The winter's ducktail.
Yeah, but I'm saying you could apply that to non-Shakespeare things, and it would be as effective, which is to say, not very, like Duckbusters.
That's where Adam Savage goes round and debunks foul play.
Oh, jeez. Right, that's it. I'm out. I give up. No more duck punnery for me. I'm going cold turkey. Oh, shit. Is that a duck pun? No, turkeys are not ducks. It's okay. They're both birds. The link is tenuous. I'm safe.
Oh, don't get your feathers in a ruffle.
Get out.